"Would you like to come in, sir, while I shower and change?" Lieutenant Castillo asked when they had reached the Daleville Inn. "Thank you," Edmunds said. "He's a West Pointer. He will have an immaculate Class A uniform hanging in his closet, and he will probably shave again when he showers. But there is no sense taking a chance." Lieutenant Castillo did not have a motel room. He had a three-room suite, a living room with a bar, a bedroom, and a smaller second bedroom that had been turned into an office by shoving the bed in there against a wall and moving in a desk. "I don't know what this is costing him, but whatever it is, it's a hell of a lot more than his per diem allowance. If he somehow managed to get permission to live off-post and is getting per diem, and why don't I believe him when he said he moved in here to have a quiet place to study? Probably because there are half a dozen assorted half-empty liquor bottles on the bar and a beer case on the floor behind it. He's spending all this money to have a place to entertain members of the opposite sex. They've been cracking down on that sort of thing in the BOQs. Well, why not? He's young, and the hormones are raging." When Castillo went into the bedroom to shower and change, Colonel Edmunds looked around the living room. On a shelf under the coffee table, he saw a newspaper and pulled it out. It was a German newspaper. "What the hell is that doing here? Maybe he's studying German. I read somewhere that special forces officers are supposed to have, or acquire, a second language. That would explain the German newspaper, but it doesn't explain what he said about his branch being special forces, not aviation. What in the hell was that all about?" When Lieutenant Castillo appeared 10 minutes later, freshly shaven and in a Class A uniform, Colonel Edmunds was glad that he had accompanied him to his room. While technically there was nothing wrong with the uniform, it was crisply pressed and well-fitting, it left a good deal to be desired. The only insignia on it were the lieutenant's silver bars on the epaulets, the U.S. and aviation insignias on the lapels, and the aviator's wings on the breast. There were no ribbons indicating awards for valor or campaigns, and there was no unit insignia sewn to the shoulder. "Two questions, Lieutenant," Colonel Edmunds said. "First, didn't you tell me you were Special Forces and not aviation? I ask because you are wearing aviation branch insignia."
"Yes, sir."
"Excuse me?"
"Yes, sir, I'm Special Forces."
"But wearing aviation insignia?"
"Sir, with all respect, if I'm wearing aviation insignia, no one will connect me with Special Forces."
Colonel Edmunds considered that, then said, "Question two. Where is the rest of your insignia? I was informed you are assigned to the Special Warfare Center at Fort Bragg. Aren't you supposed to be wearing the Third Army shoulder insignia?"
"Sir, at Bragg I wear the Special Forces shoulder insignia and the Special Warfare Center insignia on my blaze."
"On your what?" "The embroidered patch worn on the Green Beret, sir. We're under DCS Ops, not Third Army, sir."
"Lieutenant, I don't know what you're up to here, but I don't have time to play games. Do you have a tunic to which is affixed all the insignia and decorations to which you are entitled?"
"Yes, sir."
"Then go put it on."
"Sir, permission to speak?"
"Grant it," Colonel Edmunds snapped.
"Sir, as I tried to tell the colonel before, we're supposed to maintain a low profile. That is what I'm trying to do, sir."
"Go put on your tunic and every last item of uniform to which you are entitled, Lieutenant."
"Yes, sir."
In 5 minutes, Lieutenant Castillo returned. He now was wearing both aviator's and parachutist's wings, and a combat infantryman's badge was pinned above both. He had three rows of ribbons on his breast, among which Colonel Edmunds recognized the Distinguished Flying Cross, the Bronze Star Medal with V device, signifying it had been awarded for valor in combat, and the Purple Heart Medal with one oak leaf cluster. The silver aiglet of an aide-de-camp hung from his epaulette, and on his lapels were the one-starred shields reflecting that he was an aide-de-camp to a brigadier general. He had a green beret on his head, and his trousers were bloused around highly polished parachutist's jump boots. Colonel Edmunds had a sudden, unpleasant thought, which he quickly suppressed.
Jesus Christ, is he entitled to all that stuff? Of course he is. He's a West Pointer. He wouldn't wear anything to which he was not entitled.
Much better, Lieutenant, Colonel Edmonds said. And now we'd better get going. We don't want to keep the general waiting, do we?
The story appeared on the front page of the Army Flyer 2 days later, which was a Friday. It included a photograph of Lieutenant Castillo and the Fort Rucker commander standing as if reading what was cast into a bronze plaque mounted on the wall beside the main door to the WOJG Jorge A. Castillo classroom building of the Army Aviation School. Living Tradition by Lieutenant Colonel F. Mason Edmonds, Information Officer, Fort Rucker, Alabama, and the Army Aviation Center. Major General Charles M. Augustus, Jr., Wright, Commanding General of Fort Rucker and the Army Aviation Center, and First Lieutenant Carlos G. Castillo, examined the dedication plaque of the Warrant Officer J.G. Jorge A. Castillo Classroom Building at the Army Aviation School. W.O.J.G. Castillo, First Lieutenant Castillo's father, was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor, the nation's highest award for gallantry in the Vietnam War. He was killed when his HU-1D helicopter was struck by enemy fire and exploded on 5 April 1971 during Operation Lam Sol 719. He was on his 52nd rescue mission of downed fellow Army aviators in a 36-hour period when he was killed, and was flying despite his having suffered both painful burns and shrapnel wounds. The HU-1D in which he died was the fourth helicopter he flew during this period, the others having been rendered unairworthy by enemy fire. His sadly prophetic last words were to his co-pilot, Second Lieutenant H.F. Wilson, as he ordered him out of the helicopter, in which 20 minutes later he made the supreme sacrifice. "Get out, Lieutenant. There's no point in both of us getting killed." Those heroic words are cast into the plaque Major General Augustus, Jr., and First Lieutenant Castillo are examining. Following in his father's footsteps, First Lieutenant Castillo became an Army aviator after his graduation from the United States Military Academy at West Point. The opening hours of the Desert War saw him flying deep inside enemy lines as co-pilot of an AH-64B Apache attack helicopter charged with destroying Iraqi anti-aircraft radar facilities. The Apache was struck by enemy fire, seriously wounding the pilot and destroying the helicopter's windshield and navigation equipment. Despite his own wounds, First Lieutenant Castillo took command of the badly damaged helicopter and flew it more than 100 miles to safety. He was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross for this action. Now, a flying aide-de-camp to a general officer, First Lieutenant Castillo returned to the aviation school for transition training to qualify him as a pilot of the C-12 Huron. Lieutenant Castillo is the grandson of Mr. and Mrs. J.F. Castillo of San Antonio, Texas. U.S. Army photograph by Corporal Roger Marschutz,